Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 244. As I adjust my headset or my headphones so I don't scream too much into the mic. We're back with a recorded episode, no best of. An important note, we're definitely for sure doing one live show this month. We may do two, I don't know yet, and they may be just 2 weeks in a row. So that's one important note before I introduce the guys who are back from their various duties and other things that took them away last week. Joining us, as he always does, it's Glacinator.
Hello. I'd like to say I'm back in the land of warmth, but it's 38 down here today. So
that's funny because 2 days ago I saw somebody post a picture of some famous freeze shack that, or snow cone shack that was open now and it was spring and it was like 80.
It was 38 today. Yesterday it was 85. So
yeah, sounds like the fucking South. Also joining us this week, and it's probably not as warm there, it's John.
Yo, yeah, it's kind of cold and breezy, and thankfully there's no snow in the forecast for tonight.
Well, that's good. That's good. First thing off the top, guys, we do a lot of, you know, we do a lot of what we've been playing and things like that, and occasionally John will say something about what he's been watching, and I do know that we have a few hockey fans watching this, and I'm less of a hockey fan these days after the last tantrum-throwing lockout fight, but I'm still interested in hockey. And last night on Netflix, I watched a documentary of ESPN's 30 for 30 series called, I think it's called The Miracle and the Men, or something to that effect. I apologize. Maybe I'll put it in the notes. I meant to look it up, and I didn't. What it was a documentary on the Russian team that lost to the Miracle American team 1980 Lake Placid Olympics. And at first I thought I'd watch it for about 5 minutes and then be done because I thought it was going to be another puff piece on, you know, a bunch of college kids beating the unbeatable Russians, but it wasn't. It was really interesting, and I learned something that I did not know about that, the fact that basically the loss at Lake Placid was the catalyst for Russian players entering the NHL. And I did not know that or really make that connection. So if you're a fan of hockey, or if you're just a fan of really well-done sports documentaries that have interesting tidbits and stories, the only downside I'd say to it is they have the mandatory kind of dickheaded guy, sore loser guy in it that got really old listening to it at times, but especially since it was translated Russian. Pretty sure he was far angrier than the translation going along the bottom was indicating. It was fascinating to learn another side to that part of history. Normally, if it was something on that famous American team, I wouldn't recommend it because not all of our audience is going to care. But, you know, if you're that ESPN 30 for 30 series, I can recommend it. They usually tell some pretty fascinating stories that even if you're a casual sports fan, it has something interesting to say. So, but that was just a quick PSA. Actually, ran a little longer than I want. Sorry about that. So check it out. It's on Netflix. Glace, you were technically on podcast vacation last week.
Yes, I was.
A vacation from the podcast. That doesn't mean a vacation necessarily in general.
Yes, I had driven up to Oklahoma to go visit my girlfriend, and on the way up, it started snowing in Shreveport, which is very unusual.
Yeah,
and then
I'd say so.
The entire interstate loop around Shreveport was closed, and the entire interstate up to Texarkana was closed as well. So I had to take back roads for like 400 miles or something ridiculous. So I was trying to get there on time because my girlfriend was getting inducted into some sort of law school honor society, whatever, at the courthouse in town. And I was like, nope, well, I can't stop now to get food. So I didn't go to the bathroom. When I left the house, I just drove straight there. And I pulled into downtown and I had to change in the car. And there was some old lady that was walking by and she just stared at me while I was changing and it was very uncomfortable. And like I ran down the street to the courthouse, like tying my tie as I'm running there. And she's like, "Oh, you made it!" I'm like, out of breath, like I really have to go to the bathroom.
Just about
And
peeing in your pants.
yeah, and then the ceremony was like 45 minutes long, and I'm just
Oh,
sitting there in
shit.
like these uncomfortable like courthouse seats. I'm just, ugh. It was. I slept very well that night.
How many hour drive is that?
10 and a half on an excellent day, 12 and a half on a bad day.
So it's like from here, for me, it's like from here to Seattle, essentially.
Yeah, I think it's comparable, yeah.
Yeah, because that's the time, the last time I went to Seattle, I got up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, left at 4, and I got there at a little bef little after 4. But there's stretches of Oregon where you can speed, where I know the state troopers don't generally hang out during let's call it normal business hours, so you can haul ass a little bit. And there's stretches before you get into Seattle proper, you can do the same thing. Oklahoma, you could probably throw a state trooper a 20 and speed through the whole damn state, what I remember of it.
Problem is going up, you have to go through all the Indian land, which
Oh
I,
yeah, the Choctaw.
yeah.
Would that be Choctaw?
Okolomogi or Muskogee
Oh, Muskie. Yeah,
or something
okay.
like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, the whole drive up to, you know, where I'm going, it's on an Indian turnpike, and so they have tolls every so often, and there's always people patrolling it, and there's like a casino every mile and stuff, so it's just, yeah.
I take it you didn't get run. I take it you didn't have much experience with the turnpike system when you were in the East then, because it's it.
I mean, I wasn't, when I was in Boston, I wasn't driving at all.
Yeah. See,
Yeah.
Philly, it took me, or the Philadelphia area. You know, I was north of there, but it took me a while to get used to that turnpike concept. I mean, here in California, we have Interstate 5 that goes literally from the Mexican border to the Canadian border. Obviously, that's all not in California, but it's pretty much just pedal down until you need to pee or eat.
And that would not fly down here in Louisiana.
No, it wouldn't fly in a lot of the Northeast either. That's where FastPass made sense to me. See, there's some things here that have FastPass, like bridges, like especially if you're in the Bay Area. And it always seemed a little silly to me because most days the fast pass lanes were just as busy, you know, like on the Golden Gate and stuff. On turnpikes, it makes sense. You know, being able to just fly through it and be gone. So, anything else interesting and exciting happened to you?
Well, built a snowman or half of a snowman. It snowed for like 2 days, but it was only a few inches. But it was enough to like not be able to go outside because they don't salt the roads up there. They sand the roads, which
Oh boy.
is not very efficient.
No.
Yeah.
No. That wouldn't fly in part mountainous parts of the region I live in. There'd be a lot of people in trouble.
I was in
Same
the
here.
coffee shop for a while though, and I did have some time to start playing Majora's Mask on 3DS. Something gaming related, thank goodness for once. I got to the first dungeon, and I didn't realize how timed the game was. Not to spoil anything, every
Yeah, be
3 days,
careful with that. I about sent
you have to
John into
reset. Basically, you have
hysterics.
to reset time every so often. I won't say why, for whatever reason, or whatever. And when you do that, only certain items carry over to when you reset the time. And I did not know this.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I had just beat the dungeon. I got some stuff, and I'm like, okay, time to reset the time. And you fade out into like this time portal thing, and like all your items like slowly like start disappearing. As you go back in time, it's like, oh no, are you kidding me? So I have to do that entire dungeon over again, which I'm really not liking this mechanic at all. It's really pissing me off because I mean I hate timed events in any game. Anything that's rushed, I'm terrible at standardized tests. But anything that involves a clock, it's t chaos. So.
You know, it depends for me. Time dungeons and stuff like that bug the shit out of me. But like time trials and racing games, I'm okay with.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah. But I
Because
still.
you're trying to be fast in a racing game. I'm not trying to, race through this game. I like taking my time and exploring stuff, and
Well,
it's not really allowing me to do that.
right, but I look at the, I attack them with the same mentality.
Oh, okay.
If I need to, I expect when I get into a timed event in a RPG or action game that it's going to take me 3 or 4 playthroughs. So usually I don't get frustrated because I know that it's going to take a few attempts. But it does, especially Zelda, which is essentially an RPG game, that kind of destroys the flow in it. I do gotta agree, that's kind of a disappointment.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a raved about game, and I mean, it definitely has a good, vibe to it. It has a great ambiance. It's super creepy. The music is insanely weird. Like weird, like Japanese folk, like strings and like drums and like, wow, there's all these weird faces and stuff. It's frightening at times, but I mean, just this time mechanic, it's I don't know. I'm biased against it, so don't take my opinion as the last opinion, but if you hate clocks, this game is not for you.
If you loathe clocks, I could probably turn that into another Animal Crossing meme of ours per inside meme. Glacinator hates clocks.
I do. I will stand by that.
I do too. Yeah, in some settings, I'm very much the same with you. It's just like finicky controls. I need to jump to X. Either make the fact that I gotta jump to Y before or excuse me, I fucked that up. I need to jump to Y. Make it more apparent that I need to jump to X before I go to Y. Don't make it look like it's a straight over jump. That kind of stuff. Yeah, I feel you on that. I'm glad you got it started though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna get back into it, but hopefully it gets, I don't know, I get more used to the system or figure out if I get an item that brings stuff back with me or I don't know. So.
Well, but don't you collect all that stuff in the dungeon as you replay it?
Yeah, I think you get to keep the major gear that you pick
No,
up.
no, no. I know, but the stuff that warps. I know how I'm trying what I'm trying to ask, and I'm not asking it right. Let me ask it this way. Is the stuff that disappears from your inventory when you warp, was that stuff you collected in the dungeon, or is it taking random crap from outside the
No,
dungeon?
everything.
Oh.
Everything. Like all the money I had, all the arrows, all the magic.
Ooh.
Totally. I mean, you keep the bow and arrow,
Yeah,
but
that's a garbage mechanic.
just, I'm sure we're pissing off,
Oh, and
people
well,
here.
I can tell you, I'm in no mood for even shaky mechanics this week, because I've been playing the Arma 3 mod Epoch, which is essentially taking over for DayZ because I can't use the name DayZ anymore. Blah blah blah, and some sim nerd who orgasms at the thought of his $500 flight stick decided that putting uber realistic helicopter controls in a survival mod was a good fucking idea. And there's no fucking easy way to get rid of it. In the last 2 days, I have crashed, both in simulation and in the real game, about 15 helicopters. Because some shitstick decided it was a great idea to make the helicopters, which were not easy to fly to begin with in Arma 2 and regular Arma 3, tw uber realistic. So I understand what you mean about crappy mechanics, Glaze. I was angry 2 hours ago. Me and Agent K both, because it just quite literally, there's no sense in it when you're trying to play a survival mod, where it's about playing the game. I could see this control scheme working in other facets of Arma 3, but not in something that's about survival and base building and defeating other players. Because There's no fucking way in hell any player, short of guys with $500 flight sticks, are able to land the damn things fast enough to make them of any use when you're being shot at by another player. It's fucking impossible. So, who cares if you're pissing people off, dude? That's a crappy mechanic, and I do not understand why they added it. I mean, if it had been dungeon-only items, like, oh, I gotta get that again, or I gotta take that sidetrack to get, this thing again, that kind of makes sense, but taking everything out of your inventory, that's outside of bare bones equipment, that's dumb.
I mean, I was thinking like, okay, maybe if I go in the dungeon, the timer will stop while I'm in the dungeon. It's only an overworld thing. No, it keeps going the entire time, like even during boss battles and stuff too.
The overworld's timed?
Oh, the whole thing is timed, yeah.
It's all on a basis. It's all on a 3-day basis, and I think how long does a day take? About 20
A
minutes?
day is like when you're in the town, it's the time goes faster than when you're in the overworld and in the dungeons. So I think when you're in the town, like a day is maybe 6 minutes. And then when you're outside, it's 12 minutes.
Yeah, no thanks. I'm starting to think I understand why this may have not have been a fond memory of mine or a game I remembered super well if I have ever even played it, which I'm still not 100% sure about. Well, that stinks.
Yeah, maybe it'll get better. I don't know. Maybe with some fast travel stuff, it'll be less of a nuisance, but I
I
don't
think
know.
it's something that, from everything I hear, it's something that you get used to, and you use that use that mechanic to later in the game to your advantage, rather than feeling you're a victim of it.
I hope so. I mean, I really like what they updated it with. You have like a logbook with all the different quests you can do, and you can like check them off. That's really nice to have. I don't know. So like a log list.
That's essentially called the journal in straight up RPGs or MMOs. I'm surprised that Zelda hasn't gone with that before. I recall being very confused because there wasn't much of an indication of what the hell quest you were on in the HUD or, your UI or some kind of book. That's a great upgrade. I agree with you. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
Makes
because
sense,
it's
right?
laid out over 3 days. Like the logbook, it's like it has the 3 days laid out, and then you can like go to each day and see what's going on that day. So it's like a planner almost. It's really nice.
Yeah, I'd die without a journal in regular RPGs. Because a lot of times, like, unless the voice acting and cutscenes are really good, like right now I'm also playing EVE Online, which is a big spaceship MMO. I mean, it's fun, but I'm not going to talk about it. It's go read about it if you care. A lot of times the quest givers are so boring that I just click accept. And then as I'm flying to the mission, because sometimes they take a while, I read the journal entry of what I'm supposed to do. So, but then again, I'm used to playing MMOs, so it's like having that journal is critical to your success a lot of times.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we see it, this mechanic make a comeback for the new Wii U Zelda.
I'm wondering if maybe they're testing things for that.
Yeah.
Fairly easy features. Like, I don't think coding a journal system is all that difficult and maybe scriptable, plug in, plug out type stuff, or plug and play if you prefer. And, they're just kind of monitoring how players react to it. The standard internet scale applying pitchfork and torches means it's a no-go. No grumbling or very little grumbling means it's probably going to work. I don't see how anybody would hate that. I mean, I know it's the internet, so there are people who hate it. I have no doubt of that. But rational people, I don't see how that could be anything but an aid to you, personally.
Yeah, it's good.
Cool. So, John, you were also on podcast vacation. But
Yeah,
unlike
because
Glacinator, you weren't on vacation in any sense of the word last week.
No, it's been a bit of a hell month at work with a major project that had a looming deadline, and so there was a fair number of late nights spent at the office and working at home, and my weekends being tied up with work, and yeah, it's one of those months. And so I admittedly I haven't had a lot of gameplay time or free time. I've been spending most of it with Peter, and actually Peter still likes a couple of games here and there, but lately he's been playing these Imaginext Dragon, and it's a their playset, like their Fisher-Price playsets that are kind of what I would call deluxe, compared to when I was a kid, because they're pretty well detailed sculpts, and they make noises, and they're nice and big, and the brand is Imaginext, and he has the castle that transforms into this eagle face, and he has a dragon that when you press the button, the castle reacts to the dragon. It starts talking and saying different sayings, and he also has this big, alien with tentacles and blah blah blah. And so Peter's been into a lot of this, imagination plays type stuff and making up stories, and which is also great to see, and play with him. It's when I was growing up, I had an NES, but most of my time was spent, making up, scenarios for my Transformers to attack my GoBots, and then He-Man and the Masters of the Universe would come in from as the cavalry and help out the Autobots and all that fun stuff you do with your toys, right? So it's pretty cool. But yeah, but work's been a complete pain in the ass. But light at the end of the tunnel and all that fun stuff. So it's not too bad.
Well, that's why, little inside baseball stuff for you audience folks. We've been doing this show for so long, 1 week is not going to kill us. It used to drive me nuts, not at you guys, but just in general. It's like I want to put a product out there for whatever audience we have every week, because it's that's kind of what we do. But these days, especially not even starting this year, on into last year, as long as we get them something, stressing out about doing this when you're buried at work or you want to go spend time with your girlfriend or family or whatever, it's never been an issue, but it's becoming even more to me about who cares? We'll do something else, Which just makes it easier for you guys, and that's my prime concern, quite honestly.
Yeah, I mean, when we have things on, or when I have things on the go on a Thursday evening that when we usually record, and I mean, I will try to suggest, moving it to a different night, just so we can get something done out the door. And if I literally can't make it at all during the week, like it happened last week, that's. It's kind of last resort stuff if I can avoid it, but I try to reschedule whenever I can for the very same reason. I'd like to have something complete and something out the door.
It was funny. I knew last week when we talked about it on Thursday after the show that you had a similar time period at work the year before. But I knew you were stressed when you said a couple days ago or a couple days before the show came out, don't forget that I can't be here this week. Like, dude, we talked about that last Thursday. I said I'd do Vesta. Wow. Yeah, he's busy. And I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you because I am very, very similar in that regard, that I will make sure people understand, even if it's already been prior talked about, because 9 times out of 10, I'm so stressed I've forgotten that we talked about it. So I understood completely when I got that message. It's like, because the show was done. I mean, the Best Of show at that point was done. I just hadn't put the bumper music on it and messed with a few things here and there.
Yeah, that message was just simply just so that no one, I'm going to make sure that nobody was waiting
Yeah.
if you guys had forgotten about it or whatever, but and give you a chance if you wanted to find somebody else to fill in for that week or whatever. But that's cool.
I thought about it. I thought about doing something with Agent K, and I think he would have been on board with it if I said something. And I just didn't even feel like hassling with it. So I just decided that cutting the best of together, did a little on Monday, a little on Tuesday, a little on Wednesday. It was done by Wednesday evening, ready to go for Thursday night, you know. Yeah. So that was just less stress for me, and I was pretty busy last week too. So, yeah. I did play one game that I want to talk about. And that's Republic Remastered. Now, it's called Remastered because it was a Kickstarter project and it originally came out on iOS and Android. I was a backer of this game, proving that at least once that you can verify that a Kickstarter project has come to fruition. Although I can tell you I play a couple others that have also. It's an interesting game. John, I think you and Glaze both should check it out, at least look at it on Steam. I'm pretty sure it's on Mac, Glaze. Not 100%, but pretty sure. It's called.
What is this called?
It's called Republic Remastered. Okay. What it is, basically, is you are a guy, I'm going to assume. I have not played a ton of it, so I apologize. But you're a guy, and you're tasked with getting a young lady out of this facility. It's kind of a dystopian future type game. It was made on the Unity engine and looks marvelous on the Unity engine. Unity gets a lot of crap these days because of all the garbage games on Steam that people spent 10 minutes with and then expect people to pay them $50 for or $20. But they did a marvelous job with this. The studio is called Camouflage. And essentially, you are looking through security cameras and hacking the network. So you have access to be able to move the girl as she's trying to do things and also change cameras and interact in different things. It's basically semi-stealth puzzle game, which really doesn't sound up my alley, if as you guys know quite a bit about my gameplay habits. But I actually was having a lot of fun with it. Other things pulled me away, and I just haven't had time to get back to it. But I really recommend that you two check it out. It seemed, knowing you as I do, a game you guys would like. And I can tell you that it's a finished game. It's not, you know, on early access. At least I don't think so. I don't know. I got a code, so I didn't really pay attention. But it's definitely finished, polished. Worked really well. All the mechanics worked really well. The story seems interesting-ish. There's enough there you won't be bored, I would say, from what little bit I played of it. But it's difficult, but it's not frustrating. And the other reason I want to talk about it is I hadn't said too much on the show, but it's been a year easy since I backed their Kickstarter project. And they stated fully up front from the get-go that PC and Mac and Linux, I really do think it is on Mac, Glaze, would be the second half of the project. They wanted to get it out on iOS and Android first. So that's what they did. But long after the Kickstarter was over, kept getting updates from them. There was an audio podcast by Camouflage you could go listen to if you wanted to on what they were working on with the game. You got little snippets and news bits. For an entire year, maybe 14, 15 months, I'm shaky on the details of how long before this PC release came out, they kept you informed, and they made it very simple to pick up your Steam key or good old games key if you wanted. Overall, it just was a Kickstarter project done right, proving that it can be done right and that you can get a good game. I donated $15. That was it. You know, and to me, it was every dollar was well spent. I will do my damnedest to play it more next week so that I can talk about it a little more on the show. I had every intention to and just never got back to it. But obviously, you and the listening audience, if you want to go check it out, it's on Steam. It's also at the Humble Bundle store, I think, and Good Old Games if you don't like Steam's DRM. But you two gentlemen,
Yeah,
give
it
it
is
a.
on Mac.
It is on Mac. I thought so.
Props to them.
Huh?
I said props to them.
Yeah, they are a studio that's got a bunch of veteran developers from other game companies, both still in existence and now no longer in business. But they said from the first glance, and it's also kind of why I kickstarted it. Even on their Kickstarter page, the pitch, they said that the PC version would be for all three platforms from day one, that it would be Mac, Linux, and PC. And that was a selling point to me. You know, obviously Mac's never going to be a gaming powerhouse, but it, you know, comes down to I want to support developers who are willing to put out for Mac this at the same time PC comes out. What's the retail price on it?
I think it was, did it say it was 25? Might have been more than that.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that spendy, but if it was, I got a good deal at $15 Kickstarter funding.
Let's see, it is, yeah, 25.
I'd say that it's worth that.
I don't know if I can run this looking at this.
It's got quite a few settings you could fiddle with, guys. I didn't have to turn it down at all with mine, but your MacBook's getting older, and my PC's still decent, so I'm not real sure I could tell you if you even turned down to the low settings. I was impressed. I was impressed with it. Because one of the things that I've been debating with Agent K and a few other people on future projects and projects going on is, you know, is Unity the right call when you're creating games? Because there's so much, you know, there's so many games out there that are just garbage games on it. Because I don't know if you guys knew this, but Epic's Unreal 4 went free this week to developers. You know, you could download it for free to use it. Tells me that.
I downloaded it, yeah.
Did you?
Yep.
Yeah, I haven't downloaded it yet, but I plan to. Take a look around and see what the tools are.
Yeah, they have a bunch of video tutorials too, which is really nice. It's all laid out in like chapters and everything.
Unity does that same thing. I think Unreal took their cue from Unity, and there isn't a damn thing wrong with that. Because what works so far I've done in Unity, the tutorials really help. You know, a lot of times tutorials are iffy at best for software like that or game engines and stuff. Unity did that, and somebody else told me Unreal did it. So that's smart on their part. Biggest thing for me, if anything, I was going to do, I got to see how Unreal plugs scripts in, because Unity does that really, really well. All right, so John, so I stopped talking, which I'm sure the audience will appreciate. Care to tell us about Rock Band 4 coming to a device near you? Well, a console.
Yeah, a console that I don't have yet, actually, because it's coming out for three for not 360 for Xbox One and PS4. It's coming out this fall. Announced at I guess it was announced at GDC, but it certainly was on my various feeds in the last day or so. Was it today? Yeah, it was today. And
Yesterday, I think.
yesterday. Yeah, and so Harmonix, you know, it's been a 5-year gap since the last Rock Band game. And you know, the music game bubble burst there for a bit, and it seems that they're trying to get things back on track. Though as an aside, I have heard through the grapevine that Activision is also going to give Guitar Hero another kick at the can. I don't know if that's happening this year or not. I guess we'll find out down the road, but
That's still in rumor phase. It's actually been the first Rock Band or oh fuck, Guitar Hero rumor I heard was 3 weeks ago. It was just a snippet And now it's become a full-blown rumor, which tells me there's probably some legitimacy to it. But who knows?
Yeah, the folks at Wired seem to think that it's going to happen. So, we'll see if that happens. But back to Rock Band. So it's been 5 years since Rock Band 3 came out, and then they had continued support for DLC songs for quite a while afterward. And I think there's been a 2 year drought of Rock Band songs. And then in the last couple of weeks, there's been a couple of new DLC songs that dropped. And songs having to do with rebirth and coming back and these kinds of things. So even some hints being dropped then. But the Rock Band 4 seems to be, according to Harmonix, going back to some basics, where Rock Band 3 kind of had a lot of extra features and supported a lot of extra peripherals. Your regular guitar, but then it would also have pro guitars, and then there was a dongle to let you play a real guitar, and the drum kits got bigger and bigger and more expensive, and just getting more and more bloated. Where I guess where Activision kind of went more for the number of discs of Guitar Hero games to push down people's throats, Rock Band kind of went with the accessories, and again, caused the bubble to burst to a certain extent, I think, and other than maybe the genre was getting a bit stale, but certainly the saturation point was well past. But 5 year break, and based on the positive reaction that we've been seeing on the Twitters and the Facebooks, maybe the time is ripe for a return. And Harmonix wants to bring it back to basics, as I mentioned, so I don't think they're going to go too far with extra piano, guitars and extra microphones, I guess. I'm not really sure of the full detail, but it's going to be a guitar, guitar, drums, and bass, and someone singing like it used to be, and kind of reaching more for that, less for lots of features and teaching you how to play, real music and real instruments, more for the party game that it kind of evolved into, and probably remains a bit in its hiatus. So it's going to be about playing together, making music, and less about the higher level intricacies of making music. So that's okay by me. From my point of view, one of the best news that come out of it, and the first question that I had is, what about all my old songs? And apparently, DLC songs from your 360 will be able to go on, will move forward into your Xbox One and PS3 into your PS4, which is great news for someone like me who has a lot of songs. It does mean that if I am to upgrade to Rock Band 4, that I am locked into buying an Xbox One to do so, unless I want to upgrade my or rebuy, I presume all these songs again, which is not going to happen. But is it? I guess it's not really that surprising, considering that 360 and PS3 are not cross compatible either. So it's in that regard, if I get to have all my songs and be able to carry them forward, that's some good value. Or at least not extra value, but a retained value, if you so to speak, so that I right out of the box, I'm gonna have quite the I can have quite the library at my disposal. So yeah, I can't say I'm ready to run out and buy an Xbox One today, but for the new because of the news, but it certainly might make me consider it. We're actually doing quite well with Rock Band 3 as it is still. I mean, it's in our regular rotation. I'm sure Wanda and I sit down or stand up in some cases, I guess, and play Rock Band 3 a couple times a month, I'm sure. And, I would like to see where Rock Band 4 goes and why I and whether or not I'll want to whether it'll move me in the direction to get an Xbox One or not. We'll see.
I assume they'll probably have some sort of character selection thing where like you can make yourself with the camera.
Oh, I'm
I
sure there'll
mean,
be something tied
I
into the
think that's going to
train.
be the big drawing, is you can be the person yourself, you know, instead of being a cartoon.
There might be something like that. It makes a lot of sense. I did forget to mention that while there will be new instruments, they have said that your old instruments will still be compatible as well. It may require a different dongle or something to connect them, but they should still work, even though the new ones will be improved in their responsiveness and lag and that kind of jazz. So, yeah. But
One thing.
go ahead.
I just saw two headlines with it, and I saw about four earlier. Let's put the track thing on a maybe. I saw some very positive headlines late yesterday or early today, whenever it was, that tracks are coming for sure. I'm seeing a lot more hot headlines with tracks might carry over.
I
So
think there's
let's
something.
leave that in the maybe category just for the moment, just so we're clear with the audience who, you know.
Well, I guess I should rephrase it. In what I read, they're saying that is the intention, that songs will carry forward. No, there are details like licenses to how they will transfer from one thing to the other, and those kinds of challenges. But there is an intention. I should rephrase that. There's an intention to have your previous system tracks carry over.
My guess would be as good a company as Harmonix has been about most things, they will do their best to get all a lot of them over, would be my suspicion on that. I do have a question for you guys, though, given all the talk of VR that happened at GDC this week, listening audience, it was VR, 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 VR. That's great, commentators. Have nerdgasms about it. Are the consumers going to buy it? That's still the fucking main issue. Are music game peripherals the best non-controller peripherals that consoles have ever had? Because everything else seems to be either eh or it's hated. But everybody's okay with having to buy new plastic instruments.
I
Do you
think
think that, Glace? Do you
the closest thing that came to instruments is probably the DDR pads.
Right, but are like the Rock Band and Guitar Hero peripherals? I mean, are they liked peripherals, or are they just accepted as necessary if you want to play the game? I don't see the or never saw the in my personal viewing the bitching backlash and core gamer belly aching like you do with anything else, like Move, Kinect, cameras, social media, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I mean, with instruments, you don't really have this stigma attached with cameras and all this super tech. I mean, I think people are more tend to be more accepting of props than they do of, more sophisticated technology. Not to say that instruments really are or aren't, but.
I think also the instruments are they're basically singular in their purpose, right? Like that you're gonna get this guitar controller and play, a music game with it. With the Kinect, you don't know what, it could be used for a lot of different things, and whether or not it works properly and works every time is a question, right? But the guitar controller, as long as you have it calibrated properly, you can do quite well with it, right?
So that essentially does make them the most competent non-controller peripheral.
I think as long as they're used, they're not hated. I've heard lots of people complain that I've got plastic guitars cluttering up my rec room, or I don't mean mine, I mean their own, gathering dust in the corner because I don't play Guitar Hero anymore. They're big and they're bulky and they tend to get in the way a little bit, but at the very least, when they're being used, to me, they're fine.
See, because even to me back in the early days, I've always been a PC gamer. I was actually surprised when I think it was Chris or maybe you, John, posted that picture of all those consoles.
Oh, yeah.
And that I actually had four of them. None of the ones everybody goes nostalgia crazy for or tries to mount their uber nerd reputation on, but I had actually owned, it was either three or four. But like even the light gun back in the day and the early MAT stuff, the Nintendo one, not the actual real proper DDR MAT, on into the original iToy and some of the stuff they tried to do with early. I think Sega had a couple things too. And then, of course, the Virtual Boy. Peripherals outside of a controller have always been crapped on. And I've never, like I said, it was just interesting to me when I saw this Rock Band news, the kind of dichotomy between that and the majority of news about VR in at GDC. Because for those of you that don't know, now everybody's making one. By the way, gentlemen, give yourselves a round of applause. Did we not say that Steam was, or Valve was lying out its fucking ass and they were making a VR headset like a year ago?
Yep.
Well, pat yourselves on the back, gentlemen, both of you. Well done. How is it we get it? That's the thing. I understand we don't have a massive listening audience. We're not fucking internet famous, but we called it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much of that stuff you guys paid attention to. You were both busy as shit. I paid attention to some of it until the Sony Dog and Pony Show started with, oh, it's so this and show that, and it's on a console, and yeah, it might the console might be using the limits of its power, but it's all packaged in one, blah blah blah. Nobody's explained to me how these things are different than Kinect, Move, the light gun, damn you, Duck Hunt Dog, crappy pads, wave birds, yada 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 yada, that gamers aren't gonna crap on them. If they don't have a use outside of gaming like they would on PC, it isn't VR saving facing that same dilemma, John, or have I finally lost it?
VR's got if you're gonna compare VR to other controllers or other peripherals, I'm sorry. I mean, the key thing is that it's got to work, right? And it's got to work every time. If it doesn't work every time, it's gonna suffer the same fate. I don't know, fate, but the same backlash and problems as a Kinect or a whatever. It's got to work.
Glaze?
Yes. Oh, sorry. Oh, gosh. What's happening right now?
Hello,
I
welcome to the
love it when
show.
we catch him reading something on his web browser or looking at something or playing a game on a phone and he's got no idea what the fuck's going on. It's always hilarious. It happens once or twice a year, maybe
Remember we were
more.
talking about VR? And we're talking about Steam or Valve.
What? Basically, what I asked John is, how are these VR helmets going to succeed where other peripherals and non-controllers have failed?
By how cool they look.
Actually, if you're going off how cool they look, Microsoft's looks the best to me so far, with Morpheus, believe it or not, being a close second.
Oh, here's some side news or
Sure.
side story. Guy I know, he got a he went to this tech conference and Google was there and they were handing out these Google Cardboard VR virtual reality, not really helmets, but goggles, I guess. And you can go on, you can look it up, look up Google Cardboard VR goggles or helmet, and it'll come up. And basically what it is, they send you this cardboard and then you just fold it up and then there's a slot on the front where you can slide your phone, your iPhone in or whatever smartphone you have. slide that into the front part where your eyes are looking, and it comes with these lenses. And then they look like magnifying glass lenses. And you just put that on the front of the goggles. And then on your iPhone, you just download, these VR apps, and you can just wear it around as a helmet slash goggle thing. So I tried that out the other day, and it actually worked pretty well. I mean, I sort of got a headache after a while, but it was VR, and I was walking around this little world. You don't really have a controller, but you walk around by just turning your head and stuff. So I might look into buying one of those just because it's a nifty little thing.
I see that. Yeah, I'm looking at pictures of them. I still don't see how these are going to do better on consoles. I'm still betting that either Oculus or Valve do better because they have so many more applications on PC and Mac and yada yada. I just don't understand because the pictures in one video I forced myself to sit through of Sony's. Not because it was Sony that I forced myself to sit through it. I'm not interested in it at all, except as a topic to discuss. I don't see how console gamers who throw a fit about everything that's not a fucking controller are gonna be sold on this. I don't know. John, play devil's advocate. I mean, how is Sony gonna pull it out? That people were using the Move controller, that does still exist, apparently.
Apparently, yeah. Yeah, I think Sony's only saving grace is that the PS, I mean, they're running this thing off the PS4. The PS4 is already in homes. Like, there's not going to be a, there's a, there's at least some amount of groundswell, or not groundswell, what's the word I'm looking for? User base that people might try this thing out. I mean, depending on the price, certainly there aren't going to be Move controllers lying around people's homes very much. And hopefully they don't. God, I hope they don't try to push those things too much to make it work. But at least the system is there, and and all the games will work from that system. It's not like people are going to have to go out and buy a high-end PC to make it work, I think that's one bonus that they might have, one advantage.
That's a misnomer too that kind of needs to be done away with. First off, the game has to be made for VR to a certain extent. So that puts Sony in kind of a corner. And second off, you do not need a massive gaming PC to run it on PC. The Oculus Rift developer SKUs that have been selling for like, I don't remember, I think they're $400 or $500. They won't run on a bargain basement fucking, laptop, but your computer, John, or mine would run them fairly easily with the Unreal tech demo.
Well, that's a fair statement. What I mean is, there's probably a conception or misconception, I guess. I mean, that you need to have some sort of you need to go out and buy a new computer
Yeah.
to do this thing, right? It's the fact that the PS4 is already in 20 million homes. Is that what I that was that the number they threw out?
Let's say a lot of homes.
A lot of
Because
homes and.
again, yeah, I think they threw out 17 to 20, and it's like, really? Where's the fucking data?
Yeah, well, yeah,
You know, that's what's gonna
fair
drive
enough.
me out of podcasting. The fact that or wanting to do this show, finally it's gonna become like it's just too much for me, is the fact that it just grows more and more every month that we're being treated as consumers, because technically we're not professionals at this, or in any way, shape, or form, not even technically. We're being treated like morons who are just supposed to lap up what these companies release as their sales numbers, or as this, or as that. Analysts going off of Sony's numbers have Sony decimating Microsoft by 2018. Well, are you going off of numbers that are actually on paper as fact, that are back at that you can back up with data, or are you going off what Sony says? When you analyze something, having concrete data to analyze and then project into the future is critical. unless you're one of these jackass analysts that have found a free and easy gig in the gaming industry. Well, maybe the gig wasn't free, but it sure as fuck easy. Because, but John, you did well with the devil's advocate, because the fact that the PS4 is plug and play, that's where you should have went. You might have to tinker a little bit on PC.
Yeah.
That's where you nailed it, in that it's most likely going to be plug and play.
Yeah, I mean, like let's say the thing costs, every one of these headsets costs $200. Let's say
Okay.
whatever that number is. If I have $200 in my hand, and I'm looking down at my entertainment center and my computer sitting next to it, and I think that I spend $200 on this Sony product, I can play it right away. And like the tinkering part, yeah. I mean, again, there's that conception, that perception as well, right?
Well,
Like
that's. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, sorry, sorry.
no. I was just gonna say it again. Yeah, like the plug and play aspect is a in terms of perception of the consumer, it might be a way, something that sways them.
I still think. Well, hold on. Let's get Glace in on this. Glace,
Yes.
your thoughts, if you were paying attention and not watching porn. Or whatever.
That would be inconspicuous. My goodness. Well, I'm glad I was muted.
Yeah, my laptop's raising and lowering. That would also mean you're podcasting without pants and undershorts.
It's too cold for that.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Nope. What do you think? Computer market or console market does better with this VR stuff?
Console market for sure. I mean, if they're going to go the route that the Wii U did initially, trying to, hit, oh, this is the technology, this is gaming of the future, first there was the Wii with handheld tennis, now you have tennis in your face. That's going to sell better if it's like John says, if it's plug and play. Oprah's going to go for the console version and not the computer version. So.
You guys are absolutely both right. Except I figure Sony will figure out some way. Sony's slowly been stumbling from their PR win at E3 last year. It's slowly coming back down to the Sony we know and love. But Sony is going to play a big role in whether this goes off correctly or not. Because you're right in that. It's easier to market. It's plug and play, and it has a decent install base. So in the short term, the console market is definitely going to be the hot ticket for the right price. Long term, I think that's where you see PC take over, because it's probably going to be easier to develop any number of things, including porn, which is why I picked on Glace with that originally, to make other uses for VR with computers. One of the things about consoles is, while yes, they're plug and play, yes, they're probably easier to market a VR device for, they're also still limited. They're saying that Morpheus is probably going to test the power limits of the PS4. So I definitely think you guys did an excellent job arguing devil's advocate, and I agree in the short term that the consoles will probably hold sway. But I think long term, VR's home is going to be on computers as far as everything else it can do.
Yeah, I mean, and don't forget the iterative effect of the console experience. I mean, there might be by the time sorry, if Sony does manage to get a bit of a head start in terms of the market because it's on a console space, who's to say that the Morpheus 2 doesn't come out after PC has had a chance to kind of work out the bugs and make some cooler experiences, as you say, but they take advantage of what work PC, the PC side has done to further their own
Well,
the next iteration.
it's not so much cooler experiences as in the different types of applications you could use VR in on the PC that you'll never be able to use on PS4, like game development, like engineering, like gaming itself, like porn. Hey, look, it's a disgusting topic, but it's a legitimate one. Believe you me, there'd be a market for VR porn. Are you kidding me? That's where I think PC, that's why I say, let's put it that way, that PC has the longevity effect. I could see virtual reality development or design being a big thing down the road. If this all works. Apparently they've got the engineering and workings of it figured out because everybody's doing one. Microsoft has HoloLens, Valve and HTC got Vive, I think it's called. You know, you have Samsung with the whatever the hell theirs is called, Sony with Morpheus, and Oculus Rift. So that's what, five I counted, five or six? Tells me that the tech is there. I'm still not convinced it's going to sell on consoles, though. You guys made excellent arguments. I saw Kinect was an awesome piece of technology, but you know where it's being used mostly today? Just for things that I just said on PC. Design and other tech applications on PC is where it has gone. Essentially, I mean, there are still people that use it on their Xbox One, and that SKU does still sell to a certain extent. But Microsoft pulling its horns in on Kinect after Matrick left, it makes me very leery of. I think there's going to be another competitor in the game here soon. Glacinator, got any idea who I'm thinking of? And no, it's not the fruit people, although they might be too.
Oh, I was about to say, Fruit People.
Yeah, not the fruit people. I'll eliminate them because that's, I mean, they're making their own car now that's gonna fruit.
North Korea.
That would probably actually, I think that'd probably just be more cardboard. John, do you have any idea who I think is going to be getting into it next?
I don't think it's Nintendo.
No, Google. See,
Google,
they killed Google Glass. I don't know if you guys are aware of that Google Glass is no more.
No.
They did it in, which pissed a lot of the early adopters off massively. And I can't say I blame them. But there have been rumblings that Google is doing something else with it. Google Glass was always going to fail because people are freaks. You know, in the sense of, I don't want people with glasses recording me. Well, how about all these fucking videos on TMZ that some asshole recorded with his smartphone? You know, it's like we had that discussion about Google Glass. It's like it's pretty easy to record secretively with a smartphone. Even though they're making them the size of boom boxes, maybe it won't be in another couple of years. You know, so, but I think Google is going to get involved. I don't know on the fruit people. Sell me on the fruit people, Glace, since you said that. By the way, we mean Apple when we're saying the fruit people, if you haven't figured it out. Sell me on the fruit people getting involved. It seems like something they would have been on the leading edge of if they were going to get involved.
I mean, just like I was talking about this Google thing, the VR thing,
The cardboard box.
the cardboard
The
box thing,
hobo. Let's call it the hobo VR. I like that.
it's the hobo VR.
The hobo VR.
I mean, what you're using to basically, you're running it off of your iPhone. It's just lenses. So,
Right.
I mean, if maybe the next, not the this next iteration of iPhone, because they already announced sort of what that is, but I wouldn't be surprised maybe the next iPhone after that one, if there's some sort of VR capability, maybe you can get some sort of, nice Chrome Apple,
Cardboard.
cardboard headset, and slide your iPhone or your even your iPad in. It might be a little big, but or iPad Mini maybe.
Would be, I could see the accidents coming from that. Somebody going to turn their head quickly to the right, the VR race, and the iPad goes shooting out of the hobo cardboard.
No, the smaller iPads.
I know, but I would come on. Don't you think somebody was like, I don't have an iPad mini. I'll try it with the big one. You know it would happen.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Neck damage all over the place.
Oh, God. Throw your head down too fast. The freaking iPad hits you in the
In the
throat.
dick. Right in the dick.
Oh, nutshot. Never even thought. Yeah, it comes tumbling out and hit your junk at 100 miles an hour. That would hurt. Do you think the fruit people will get involved, John? Because like I said, I would think they'd already be there if they thought that this was a good idea.
Yeah, I maybe they're waiting to see how the public goes after it or not. Maybe they're playing a little safer.
Of the ones I've seen tech demos for, HoloLens has me the most curious by Microsoft because of some of the things it can do outside of gaming and outside of, virtual FAP helmet. Some of the projection capabilities and other things associated with it. I mean, quite honestly, I have no interest in any of it. In the sense that I don't want to be that immersed in my games. I just don't. I'm at that point where it doesn't. It's going to have to really be something spectacular to get me to take that leap, I think.
Yeah, I can tell you basically what I've been saying all along here is I'll wait to see if it works. Because if it doesn't work, I'm not going to buy one. If there's nothing, if it doesn't work and there's nothing for me to do on it or use it with, then I'm not going to buy it. Same reason why I haven't bought an Xbox One or PS3 or whatever. There's just nothing I want on it right now. So if there's not, the same thing will go for VR helmet.
Glace, update on your VR thoughts.
If they have a VR Animal Crossing, I'll be all over that.
That the only thing I could think of that would be more terrifying than VR Animal Crossing would be VR Cargo: The Quest for Gravity.
That would be a magical experience.
I love freaky shit. We all know that. I love creepy stories. I love Halloween. I love weird games. That might be a bridge too far, even for me.
No one would ever go outside again. Everyone would just be inside on their helmets, Just little midget sounds, Sometimes emerging from the helmet, and everyone has a big smile on their face and no pants on. This is utopia, guys. This is utopia.
Well, hey,
The future's now.
I know for sure in Austin, Texas, and in San Francisco, there are grocery delivery services now. If you work from home and you live in certain cities, it's quite possible you do not need to go outside until you die. They roll you out. I think in Austin, I know for sure in Austin, Texas, that they have a booze delivery service, which to me is a brilliant concept. Not because I occasionally like to have an adult beverage, but because it's probably the most brilliant way to make money and keep people from driving drunk and at home. Did you see anything, John? I know you bought GDC first. Let me see. Oh, hold on. We made fun of Oya some of us more than others. And NVIDIA now, did you see either of you that NVIDIA has this Shield micro console and they're going to try a streaming service as well? This got announced at GDC.
I saw the headline and I caught a couple of details, but not the full meal deal.
I only bring it up because with the whole Oya thing, which Pat probably still makes fun of at times in conversations with people because that's how much he hated that damn thing or just liked making fun of it, thought it was stupid. I told you long ago that sooner or later, one of these micro consoles is going to work. It's going to, it's not going to stop people attempting to make them. Now, I see this in Nvidia Shield going nowhere. I mean, they've already got a little, handheld one. I think it may be called the Shield, too. And the streaming thing apparently isn't going away because them and one other are attempting streaming games. So it's not going away, people. It may be stupid, but I had an idea when that Oya cleared Kickstarter and actually got created that this was the new thing.
Yeah, I didn't know that this the Shield thing was a streaming device.
It will
It was
be.
saying here at the low end of the Grid Plus service, it could eat up as much as 20 gigabytes per hour
Yeah,
of game.
essentially you need fiber. Even my connection probably would have issues.
Wow.
From what I was seeing from people's immediate reaction, was yeah, you better have fiber or you're up shit creek without a paddle. Oh, I was gonna try and get you guys a picture of it, but it's playing crappy ass. I mean, it also does the TV apps and stuff.
Well, Christ, you can get a $30 USB dongle that does the TV stuff.
Yeah, Google. Is it Google?
Yeah, I think it's Google.
Yeah, Google does I
The
mean,
Chromecast thing.
Chromecast. Yeah, it's $30. You can get all your freaking doodads and shit. I'm trying to find you guys a picture of the NVIDIA Shield.
I just put a post in the chat there.
Did you? Oh, I don't have chat open. My bad. Yeah, that. No, I was just trying to find you a picture because the damn thing doesn't even look comfortable. Oh, okay. So this is the actual streaming box, and it's like I'm pretty sure Glacinator's dying of old age Mac can run Doom 3 at this point.
I hope so.
That's not a fucking selling point, people.
Yeah,
Suspiciously looking Xbox 360 controller NVIDIA there has there.
it says Doom 3 on Android.
Yeah, whoopee. I can play it on my PC as well. You know what else hasn't died though? The Steam machines.
Oh yes, the Steam machines. Yeah.
I saw the store banners with what games are coming to Steam OS. I think it was The Witcher 3, and it was two games I didn't give a fuck about. That was the thing that was making me chuckle. I mean, it was nice to see that AAA games were coming to going to Steam OS. I can't wait till somebody does a post-mortem on Steam OS, meaning they pick it apart to see what's really running it. Because I suspect that it's going to be light on the Linux and heavier on something else. But yeah, right now, according to this Polygon story, which I just threw in the chat for you guys, the iBuyPower SBX starts at 459, and many others start at around twice that, and come in a variety of shapes and sizes and performance capabilities. I'll give Steam credit. I thought this sucker was going to hit the cutting room floor. You guys can say whatever you want about it, but as far as here on the show, if you got any comments, either of you, go ahead.
Well, I was actually kind of shocked that it actually has shown up again. I thought the Steam machines as an experiment had come and gone. With all the little, remember when we were looking through those different little, those lists of prototypes and stuff and crap like
Yeah,
that?
that was
Yeah.
early. We did, well, the first show this year, I think we did a Will They Ever Be Seen?
Yeah.
I'm looking at them right now. Yeah, let's see. The Alienware Steam Machine starts at 479. The alternate Steam Machine, 1 grand to 2 grand. The Asus ROG blah, blah, blah Steam Machine starts at 699. Digital Storm Eclipse, $6.99. The Falcon Northwest Tiki Steam Machine, 2 grand to 4 grand, all USD here, people. Gigabyte Bricks Pro Steam Machine is $600. iBuyPower SBX is $459. Main Gear Drift, $849. Steam Machine by Material.net, $899. I mean, there's quite a number of them here, but all of them cost almost as much as a fucking gaming rig. You realize for $1,100 I could build a pretty damn good gaming rig with 16 gigs of RAM. I mean, a copy of Win 7 right now is about $60, and according to Microsoft, you'll get a free upgrade to Windows 10 if you own 7 or 8. Oh, Steam. Glace, you gonna run right out and get a Steam machine to replace your dying MacBook?
Oh yeah, just so I can render all my projects on that lovely interface.
On a Linux OS, it probably won't run half the modeling software you use.
Think my brain would implode if I tried to do that.
Valve showed out that Steam Link thing as well.
Oh yes, they're also getting into the streaming.
But it's streaming from your PC, not streaming from a stream service, I don't think.
That has potential, I think. I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Glacier first. It's basically stream games from your PC to TV, essentially.
Okay. I guess that's all right. It seems like that should already be a thing by now, but
But it's got to work.
yeah.
Again, it's got to work every time. And so, I mean, if this is what it takes to make it work, that's hunky dory. For me, my computer is so close to my television, I can run an HDMI cable and away to go. But if
I
I,
guess
you know,
I
if
think
I,
most people's setups are.
yeah,
So.
if I did have a computer that was in a different room of the house, and I wanted to play Doom 3 on it on my TV upstairs, well, then maybe it would be something that I'd want. I don't know.
Hey, John just brought up an interesting concept. Isn't the Steam Link going to cut into their sales for Steam machines? Or are you supposed to link your Steam machine to your TV, which was supposed to be the point of the Steam machine in the first fucking place?
I'm not sure.
Glaze, if you can follow that fucking link
Wait,
of
what?
mass. Well,
What? I'm confused.
see, initially, old friggin' Newell and his ever-expanding waistline claimed that that Microsoft was evil with Windows 8. And by the time they get all this done, Windows 10's gonna be out and everybody's gonna love it again. Watch that shit happen. That the Steam OS and the Steam machines were supposed to be more like consoles and less like gaming PCs.
Oh boy, this conversation again. Yeah, that's right.
So, what am I supposed to do with this Steam Link? Is this for the people that don't buy into the Steam machines? Like Glaze, I think Glaze had the best answer. What? What? Are they trying to cover every base? I gotta admit, though.
I want to stream the Steam game through my iPhone, and then from the iPhone to my Apple TV. Within my Apple TV, I access that through my Wii U pad. But through the Wii U pad, I want to connect through my 3DS and then back to my computer.
The latency on that would be unfucking believable. You would probably get half a frame a second. Even if you had a $1,500 32 gig of RAM gaming monster running it. I want to see it done now, though.
But just imagine the network. Imagine the bits and bytes traveling through the air. It's just, man, it's exciting to think about.
Well, that's where your aspect, John, of it has to work every time. If I'm back here in this part of the house, I get 5 megs a second wireless Wi-Fi, which is not enough. It's not fast enough to download some bigger updates for my Nexus tablet. So I have to walk out closer to the modem router, wireless router. From my cable company. And then it's probably getting 7 to 10 megs a second and download it faster. I got to believe that similar things will come into play when you're using Steam Link, latency, redundancy, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta admit, they're priced right. You
Yeah,
just gotta see that as $49.99.
$50 is not bad if it works.
Yeah. I'm one of those weirdos that when I'm sitting out in the living room watching TV, that's what I want to do there. I've thought about getting a 32-inch TV to wall mount in the corner here for gaming, or moving the one in from the other end of the house, but I'm happy with my two 24-inch monitors, whether I'm on, a 360 or console or computer. So this thing, I don't know if somebody wanted to give me one to Valve wanted to give me one to do a review for them, I might try it out, but I just So yeah, Steam machines are still a thing. What else did I have here in my list of stuff? Oh yeah, Phil Harrison, who used to work for Sony, is now the rumor is maybe leaving Microsoft because he didn't get a promotion. I'm pretty sure people are trying to use that in as they usually do to blast Microsoft, but I'm pretty sure that that's going to have no. If it's actually happening, Microsoft had no comment. I'm pretty sure Harrison was a hired gun, and he'll either tuck his tail between his legs and head back to Sony, or maybe he'll join some of the ex-EA execs over the sinking ship that is Zynga. Final thing, this is one John said, and I'm going to ask you first, Glaze. The Source Engine 2, which I didn't know that the Source Engine was 11 years old, still does a pretty fucking good job for an 11-year-old engine.
Does.
Unless it's that free-to-play game Glazenator and I both tried playing. The fuck, oh, no more room in hell, except for the developers of that game. I can't make that joke enough, and I hope it happens. Glaze, do you think Valve's gonna maybe join the Unreal Unity? Damn it, there's another game engine that's pretty much free at this point. Oh fuck, forget what it is. Oh, CryEngine 3. From Crytek. I don't think that one's free though. Anyway, sorry, rambling. Point is do you think Valve will do something along those lines with Source Engine 2? To join the crowd, or you think they'll keep it in house as they did with the original?
I mean, they have Source Filmmaker, which was pretty cool when they released that. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they went the whole way.
Well, that's what's always been interesting to me. When Unity first came out, and it was free to try, I don't think Unity's always been 100% free from the start. But also, for those of you at home, it's free in that you can make a game with it, but once you start making money with it, you do have to pay them. I think it's $5,000 in revenue for Unity and it's $3,000 in revenue for Unreal, which the percentage that they ask for, and I'm not going to bore you with the business details, it's really pretty cheap what you're getting a top line game engine for. When Garry's Mod, which preceded Source Filmmaker, came out, I was really shocked that Valve and Source Engine didn't jump on the bandwagon before we even knew what Unity was. And then Unreal did their thing too. I don't know what Valve is going to do. Maybe they're just happy with giving people Source Filmmaker, and maybe there'll be a Source Filmmaker 2. And leaving it at that. I don't know. What do you think, John? Think join? Yeesh. Think Valve will join the crowd?
Well, it's hard to say, isn't it? I mean, it seems to be a trend, but then again, they might want to hold on to that sucker for a little while before they open it up.
Yeah, that's a valid point in that maybe you better see how bulletproof it is before you release it.
Yeah.
I mean, at Unreal 4 is called Unreal 4 for a reason. It's the fourth generation of it. I think Unity's on 5 now. Anything else? Anything else? Oh yeah, I do want to give a quick fuck you to any and all gaming blogs or commentators or YouTube video makers that posted the headline "EA shuts down Maxis." Maxis is the maker of SimCity and The Sims and this and that. You're clickbaiting fucktards who should be kicked in the taco repeatedly. They shut down the studio, Maxis Emeryville, which still is a big deal. But the Sims games and a lot of the people behind the Sims games are just going to other studios. They just shut down one particular location, let's say. I thought it was pretty pathetic on the part of the clickbait press. And there were quite a few who should have known better doing it. I mean, it sucks. If anybody loses jobs, if there's reductions, it sucks. Maxis was a massive long-time developer. Little does our young Glacinator know, but things like Animal Crossing might owe a slight debt to things like SimCity and The Sims and other things of that ilk.
I played Max's games.
I know. I was just flicking your shit. I was bringing back the Animal Crossing thing.
I played that. What was that ant game? Ant Life?
SimAnt.
SimAnt, yeah.
SimAnt was awesome.
SimAnt, yeah, I remember that.
Well, I always get it confused, and I'm not going to clickety-clack on the keyboard, but there was a game on the Amiga where you fought mutant ants, and it was a really fun and challenging game. The problem is I owned like three different copies of it, two legally obtained and one copied, and the game was so buggy that you never could get far into it. It was kind of like an action-adventure, linear, early, you know, actual kind of third person game. But and every time I played SimAnt, I thought of that game. But what the hell was I wanted to look up something, but I wanted to give both of you gentlemen an opportunity before we wrap up the show tonight, and that'll give me the opportunity to look up something. Did either or both of you want to say anything about the passing of Leonard Nimoy, which I have to admit caught me off guard a little bit?
Well, I'll say that that he was, I mean, I always had a great respect for him. I thought he was a class act. You know, I mean, well, you know, what more can you say about his career as Spock? You know, it's quite the legacy, and you know, beloved character, like is huge, pop culture icon, and you know, it's a sad thing that he passed away. Of course, the man was getting older, so you know, it had to happen sometime, I suppose. But you know, it's still a sad thing. End of an era, so that kind of stuff. You know, I even thought he was has some great roles on shows like Fringe, and you know, some smaller things post Star Trek, and even you know, and his inclusion in the new Star Treks have been quite good as well. So it's sad, you know, it's the end of an era part of it. I think that kind of got me a little bit more than anything else. Yeah, lots of respect for him. Please.
Well, I haven't really watched the original Star Treks really at all, but I did think his cameo in the first reboot Star Trek movie was pretty tasteful. I know a lot of people didn't really like that movie, but I really enjoyed his appearance. I thought it was a good call, and I'm glad that he was able to close out the role like that. So.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of my favorite characters in the original Star Trek. And in a way, I have to thank my dad for his love of watching Star Trek reruns after work when I was a kid, when he was unwinding with a beer or two and then dinner, because he just loved that show. And so I watched every episode of the original Star Trek more times than you would like to know. You know, because even then we didn't have a ass ton of channels and didn't have 50 TVs, and you know, it was watch what dad was watching or read a book.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm okay with reading books too. But Spock was always my favorite character. And then for me, he did a series in, I want to say late 70s to mid 80s or somewhere around in there, called In Search Of. that was about very bizarre and strange things, phenomenon, hauntings, UFOs, this and that. And that probably kickstarted my taste for the weird, my fascination with reading lots of ghost stories, lots of things of that nature. Not necessarily being a hardcore believer in it, but I do find the paranormal and urban legends and things of that nature fascinating and love reading about him. He was a tremendous human being, and I was saddened by his passing, but I'm happy every time. Well, not happy, but I'm less saddened when the age 83 is next to a person's name. Unlike a couple weeks ago, with Monty Ohm, who was not that old. But still, it's the end of an era, as John said. I don't know if either of you saw the pictures. I refuse to call it a meme because it was startling, even to a hard-ass cynic like me. There was a picture of all the original main cast of Star Trek, Scotty, all that, this, that, and the other thing, and Kirk sitting at a table in an episode, and then a picture of just Kirk sitting there. Because, the doctor is gone, Scotty, the actor that played Scotty, has passed, and now Spock. Of course, obviously, George Takei is still with us, thank goodness. Because he is a fascinating man for an entire different set of reasons. But yeah, that's it was it was a little shocking to me that people that I watched in my childhood are now, heading off, unfortunately. Anything else, gentlemen, for this week, or shall we call it a show?
No, I'm good.
Yes, I'm good too. Muted.
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 All righty. Well, hey, another recorded show in the books. If you'd like to get in touch with us, we have a ton of ways you can do that. First off is Facebook. Shoot us a friend request. We'll accept it. You can join the army of the silent thousands. I think we're at 1,000. I don't know. I don't pay attention. We have a website. It's wonderpodonline.com. Wonderpodonline.com. Mostly the podcast being posted these days there, but with each podcast post is an embedded player. So if you want to go back and listen to any shows and don't feel like downloading an MP3, or don't feel like downloading MP3s in general, there you go. We have an iTunes. We are on iTunes. Search WonderPod. We are at archive.org, which is the best place to get the entire catalog because iTunes, for some reason, cuts ours off, cuts people's off, even though they claim they don't do it. We have a Twitter account. It's at WonderPod Online, all one word, at WonderPod Online. We have YouTube channels, the Bruce McGee YouTube channel, Glacinator YouTube channel, 36 Wii YouTube channel, Olivia Made this YouTube channel, Chris Lloyd's running around there with the YouTube channel, WonderPod Online YouTube channel, which has some old archive videos. Yeah, fuck it. I forgot stuff, but who cares? If none of that works right, here's an email address. It's wonderpod@wonderpodonline.com. wonderpod@wonderpodonline.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter at ORIGIM, or you can follow John on Twitter.
At John Keogh, JONKEHOE.
Until episode 245, I am Bruce McGee, and I am out of here. See you, people.
Cheers.
Goodbye.